From the Land-Grant University in Iowa, I'm Todd Gleason at the Farm Progress Show near Boone. Time to take a look at what's been happening in the commodity markets for the afternoon. Later in this program, we'll hear from Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And we'll talk with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear from Ruth Hamilton about Annie's project and maybe a little of what's happening on the stage at the Iowa State University tent at the Farm Progress Show. Here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat bit, a September contract at 831 and one half on the high, the low at $8 and a half, and a settlement price at 802 and three quarters, down 27 and three quarters. December futures, 859 the high, the low at 821, and a settlement price at 825 and three quarters, 28 and three quarters lower for the day. And the March contract, 880 the high, the low at 847. A settlement price for the afternoon at 8.49 and a quarter and finished 29 cents lower. May futures in the wheat pit down 29 and a quarter at 8.64 and a half. From the corn pit this afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract, 2 1/4 higher, 5.83 the high, the low at 5.68. A settlement price at 5.77 and a half, 2 1/4 higher for the SEP corn. December futures 5.96. Up 2 in the March at 6.15, up 1 1/2. May futures 6.27 and three quarters, finished 1 3/4 higher on the afternoon. From the bean pit today, nearby September, $13.48, 10 and a half cents higher. November at $13.48, up 3 1/2 in January, $13.65, three higher for the day. March contract up a penny and a quarter at $13.77. November at $13.20 and a half, down 12 cents in the soybean. Soybean meal for the afternoon, $3.68, up 80, and the bean oil at $54.22, up 30 for the day. Cattle futures finished the August at $100.63, down $1.08. Feeders at $112.95 were down 7 cents, and the lean hogs were off 3 at $70.50. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Live at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, I'm Todd Gleason. This afternoon during the program, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of commodity markets. And if we get lucky, I believe we'll have a Brazilian crop consultant join us this afternoon to talk a bit about what he expects to find in the Brazilian soybean fields this year. Some interesting things, he tells me, has been happening with Asian soybean rust. His name is Pedro. Frankly, we'll talk to him within just a bit. The last name is Schneider, and Pedro should be along hopefully as well this afternoon. But he's roaming around the site here at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. It's been a bit of a muddy day simply because we had a rainfall earlier this morning. Came in and rained probably 3 hours, just a light, slow, steady rainfall. And we're hopeful that that will go away. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight in northwestern Illinois. Partly to mostly cloudy skies, says Ed Keyser. A chance of a few showers and thunderstorms. Those will occur after midnight. Elsewhere to be mostly clear. Lows will range from 57 in northeastern Indiana to 65 in west-central parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north and western central parts of Illinois, to be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 82 in the far northern parts of the two-state region to 92 in the far south. The extended forecast calling for scattered showers and thunderstorms likely across Illinois and Indiana on Thursday night, with lingering showers possible in Indiana and southern Illinois. On Friday, amounts will be variable, says Ed. Most locations probably will receive disappointingly low amounts, but a few locations will receive a good soaking from those locals' thunderstorms. Okay. Yes, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're coming to you live from the Farm Progress Show site near Boone, Iowa. The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold, funding agricultural programming and is an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listing area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, More information at agrigold.com or 800-262-7333. Speaking of Agrigold, if you visit the Farm Progress Show site, make sure you drop by one of two tents. During the closing mark report, we broadcast from just right next to the ISU stage in the ISU tent. That's Iowa State University. And all day long, Dave Dickey and a whole crew of analysts are putting on programs in the Agrigold tent. Our regular ag panels, including Sue Martin and Jackie Vakes, Pete Manhart, Dan Zwicker is here, John Odie is around, and Chuck Shelby is here. They're on stage at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 3 o'clock daily from the Farm Progress Show. Of course, this is the world's largest outdoor machinery show. If you drop by the Agrigold tent at one of those times, I'm sure you can get some really good marketing information. It's located at the corner of 5th and South Street. The ISU tent where we're broadcasting from now is located at the corner of 7th and Central Avenue. Chuck Shelby is on hand with us this afternoon. Take a look at what happened in the commodity markets for the day. He's with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Chuck or Mike usually join us on Friday afternoons and sometimes on Commodity Week. He made the trip out here to Iowa to talk to the farmers. Good afternoon to you, Chuck. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Talked this morning with you, and we were kind of worried about maybe the crowd wouldn't show up, but nice to see we have kind of a big crowd, I think, for the weather.
You know, yesterday the weather was just beautiful out here. Do you have, or can you hear me in your headphones? No? Hey, Pete, can you help Chuck out? He can't pick up the headphones here. And he's not getting me, so he can't actually hear what I'm saying. I didn't think so. You're right, though, that the crowds were big today despite the rainfall. And yesterday, Chuck, the crowds were really big, just enormous yesterday. And it's beautiful weather here this afternoon still. Sun looks like it might even peek out a bit later today. The crowds inside the Agrigold tent were awfully good. This morning we moved things around a bit to accommodate the rainfall and sat down eventually and had a pretty darn good discussion about the commodity markets. Did you hear anything that surprised you from the other analyst on the panel?
No, I think what we're seeing, Todd, is fundamentally most everybody seems to be on the positive side that this crop is probably a little bit smaller. I think one thing that was kind of debated was some folks think that corn acres in 09 will be bigger, and most others think that there's still some work to do in that corn price to get us enticed to plant that corn.
Well, what do you think?
I think our feeling is the corn price needs to go up. I think cost-wise, to put out a crop, the easy decision right now would be to stay with the bean side of the equation. If we get the corn market hot and getting it going up on the December 09 up around $7, we think that's a price that probably would do the job of getting guys leaning back towards corn.
Well, and this is partly due to the input cost that are really high. Is there anything that a producer should be thinking about now? What is it that you're doing on your farm? What maybe should they be doing on their farms in order to lock in prices or consider those input costs at this time of year when really they're probably thinking about getting the combine ready and not buying fertilizer?
Well, one of the issues that's come up with this whole equation is the cost. It certainly cost is going to be significantly higher. So many farmers have kind of maxed out their loans at this point or what they agreed to with their banker on what they were going to use for this year. So they really, a lot of it, need to go back to their banker and ask for more funding to get going on the 09. There's so many unknowns out there in the fertilizer world. Will a dollar go back up and lower that potash? Do the Russians get into it for the United States and we cut the anhydrous imports down? I think another key point that's come out today, this big hurricane that's coming into potentially into the Gulf, does that disrupt the import of anhydrous and potash? So I think our view would be if a guy can get the money and can buy those inputs, we'd take part of those inputs and get that going. I think it's real crucial in 2009, though, Todd, we had a market that fell back and rallied back, give us a second opportunity. With higher costs in 2009, I think producers need to be really diligent in getting that somehow sold on 09 to lock the whole package together of higher input costs, sell that crop at a price they can make money.
Well, I want to come back to that in just a moment, but stay with the input cost. Did I hear you this morning tell producers that they needed to make sure if they got those inputs locked in that you would somehow get them on your farm?
Yeah, I think it's important. With the turmoil in the banking industry and some of the businesses going on around the countryside, you need to, if you can, you're an unsecured loan. If you pay that money to that fertilizer dealer, we don't know what's above him, where his supplier's coming from, who they're related to, where they do their banking. So if at all possible, if you're going to pay for those inputs, certainly get them to your farm or apply them to your land as quickly as possible would be our advice.
Well, and let's come back now to the commodity marketing and talk about locking in the 2009 commodities, corn and soybeans. You're going to lock in both of them? And how are you going to do that?
Well, I think this market this year, I think the premium's going to come early, Todd. I think the battle for acres, I think we're going to see that we're going to have the best price of the year, maybe early in the year. So if you can forward contract it, I know a lot of guys in Illinois can't make a fall of 09 price forward contract. If you can't do that, then you're going to have to come to the put option side and create that floor underneath you. But we'd certainly blend in, if we can, part of that in forward contract, part of that with put options, and have the whole crop would be our goal to be sold at some good prices this winter.
Have you had the opportunity to talk to many Iowa farmers and those from across the Midwest that are here at the Farm Progress Show about what their crops look like and how they feel it will finish out?
Yeah, that's always a good part of coming to these shows. We've seen a wide array of farmers from all over the country when we do our meetings today, and I think, again, it's a mixed bag again. There are some good crops in Iowa. I think the thing a lot of guys are worried about in this part of the country would be the lateness of the crop. It sure is going to take an extra 30 days to make it out this way. So I think maturity-wise is the biggest concern of producers in this part of the country.
Yesterday we had Elwin Taylor on the program. Those listening on WILO, which is our flagship station, didn't manage to get that program. We had some technical difficulties. But the other five radio stations in the network did hear Elwin say that he thought the Iowa crop, and I assume from his comments, the crop across the Midwest, given cool, even dry conditions, will finish slowly but be heavy because of the slow finish to the maturity. Would you agree with that?
I think my concern would be, you know, it takes sunlight and energy to convert that kernel and make that kernel the best it can be. I think just like a day like today, it's cloudy and cool. I think we need to be concerned. I would be, as a farmer anyway, that this crop can finish with the test weights. It can fill out those bean pods to the best it could be.
We're talking to Chuck Shelby. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here at the Farm Progress Show for the closing market report. Agricultural information, by the way, made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company, ADM, resourceful by nature. Any final word from you any final word you want to make sure that producers
hear? I think we got it, Todd. We talked about this week. The volatility and those things that are coming into play into agriculture, outside market influences, hurricanes, all those kind of things have just made marketing much more difficult. I think that's what we got to be looking forward to in 2009. We've got to take advantage of good prices, get things locked in, because these outside forces are just really wild.
Okay, Chuck, thanks much. I appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the closing market report on a Tuesday afternoon. We're broadcasting to you live from the Iowa State University tent and the home of the Cyclones. Agricultural programming made possible by Stuart Peterson for over 20 years. Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risk through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information available at www.stuart-peterson.com. I'm not too awfully far here in the ISU tent from a display called Annie's Project, Risk Management Education for Women. It is a program that started in Illinois, and in fact, the founding mother, I suppose I will call you, Ruth Hamilton, from University of Illinois Extension, is here to discuss Annie's Project with me this afternoon. Annie's Project is a program designed for women to help them
be
market
better business partners.
Well, tell me about it, please.
I'd be glad to, Todd, and hi, everybody.
Well, hey, you've had fun out here so far?
I've had a ball. The only complaint that I have so far is I didn't put the right shoes on.
Yeah, I'm looking at those nice gold slippers you've got on there.
every farm show, you bring your good shoes and you bring your throwaway shoes. And the rain wasn't supposed to get here till tonight. it arrived early.
You know, if you'd been listening to Ed Kieser at WILL, you might have had something else to say about that.
I might have had a heads up to it, but yeah. As it is, it's turning into a very successful farm show. I would like to congratulate Iowa for the work that they've done. And yes, Annie's project has been very busy over at the Rural Life Tent.
Well, what is it that it does?
Annie's Project is a education program for farm women. Our mission is to empower farm women to be better business partners through mentoring and managing and organizing critical information. So basically what we're doing is taking farm women and giving them a set of business skills that will make life a little bit easier on these operations.
And how do you do that?
We do this by a series of six classes. They are scheduled anything from once a week to twice a week. They are 3 hours in length, each of the classes. And the first five, we have them scheduled according to the USDA risk management categories. So we talk about production, we talk about financial, we talk about marketing, we talk about human resources, and we talk about things that are legal.
Well, let's start with the production and risk management and following through on some of the USDA crop insurance programs or farm programs in general. And this, I would think, I'm sure, would go just across the board for any farm operation. So what are the things that you tell them about the programs and what they really need to know and understand?
In the area of marketing, that's where we spend a full 3 hours with the women. And in fact, we're beginning to adopt a new procedure where at every meeting we do a market outlook, market update, just do something to touch what's going on with marketing. And at that fifth meeting, and we hit them with the full 3 hours curriculum. And what we tie that marketing plan to is their crop insurance products. If they're going to forward price these crops at these very profitable prices that they've got, they need to have some assurance that they can deliver on those contracts. And so we take a lot of time in selecting the right crop insurance product to shore up that marketing plan. If you get it all together right, a lot of people sleep pretty good.
Well, the question then is, how do you do that? Because that's a pretty difficult problem to tackle. We talk about it on the air. I know farmers talk about it at the coffee shop. Producers talk about it with their bankers. Do you have a secret?
Yes, I do have a secret.
Oh,
I didn't
know that.
And I'm about to share it with everybody.
Well, let's hear it.
Get your pencils and papers out, boys and girls. We're going to share the secret here about what it takes to be a good marketer. All of a sudden, everybody's whipping paper out of their pockets here. Wow, like they're really going to listen to me. All right, what we do is each farm operation should treat itself as a center of profitability. In other words, we don't want you to worry about highs and lows in the market. We just want you to be a price taker in the market, pulling triggers when you see a profitable price for your operation. Now, let me give you an example. One of the gals over in the Annie's Project tent was talking to me about the bushel of corn that her husband sold many, many times. The first time, it was way too early, way too cheap. And then every sale after that was, yep, I'm missing another $2 on that sale, or I'm missing 50 cents on that sale. What we teach farm women to do is, if it's profitable, sell it, bank that money, and let it go. Don't think a thing again about going back reselling a bushel of corn or a bushel of beans because the market went up or the market went down. Whatever price you sold it for should have been profitable. And just taking that, centering your marketing activities around your farm operation is the secret to being a good marketer in agriculture.
Well, once you've done that, can you get them to implement it?
Yes, we can. We have marketing plans that we develop with these farm women. And the interesting thing is, if this is their first foray into the markets, we actually get the guys to give them, you know, maybe 500 bushels of beans, 500 bushels of corn. And what really makes us feel good is when the women come back and they say, I did a better job marketing than my husband did.
Okay, finally, how do you get involved in the project?
To find out information about Annie's Project, just in your search engine, type in Annie's Project, A-N-N-I-E apostrophe S, Project, and you'll find information about us, that contact people that you can call and talk to us in person a voice that will answer your questions.
Ruth Hamilton, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Have fun at the Farm Progress
Show. And you do that too, Todd.
I will do that indeed. Ruth Hamilton is with University of Illinois. She's located in Mount Vernon. Agricultural programming made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating, and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. I told you early on in the program that if we were lucky, Pedro Snyder would show up and talk to us, and he was true to his word. Pedro Snyder, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
When did you make the trip up from Brazil? Did you just get in?
No, I came in 17th of August. I've been in Illinois with Dave Harms. You know him.
Yes, I do.
In 1 week there. And I came from another week in Iowa and 2 days in Farm Progress. So I'm leaving next Saturday.
And you're a crop consultant in Brazil.
That's
and get
right.
across their soybean fields. We'll talk just a moment, in a moment, about what you expect to find or what you expect them to do this season. But maybe you should talk to us a little bit about Asian soybean rust and some of the problems that the farmers in Brazil experienced with their foliar chemical applications this past year.
Well, you know, Todd, every year it's been a really different year for soybean rust. We are dealing since 2001. And we're learning a lot each year, being real different. But you know that last year we did a law to forbidding to planting soybean in the winter time. So that helped us a lot. So if you see the soybean, the first pustules of rust we've seen in January, and a couple of years ago we've seen in November or before that. So.
So let me repeat that because there was a law passed and you cannot plant soybean
for 3 months.
So it doesn't have it doesn't have a green space.
That's
to,
right.
To
that's
survive
a green
on.
Bridge for rust.
Okay.
And what's happened last year that we the problem we're trying to the average of spray in Mato Grosso, I live, it's about 2.5 sprays. The most of farmers that what used last year was the first spraying was mixed triazole with Strobes lurines, and the second spray too, Strobes and triazole, and the last spray with the only triazole. What happened is in some areas about some triazole, specifically tebuconazole, didn't work well in some areas. We didn't figure out yet what happened. They don't conclude that it's resistance, but worried us because we've seen in the fields really different between the product you use it. Some guys, I say, that kind of lost of sensitivity of the fungus, but we don't figure out what's happened. They are looking at the universities, are looking at it. And now, what our recommendation for the next season, we are going to start in 1 month, will be 3 sprays of mixed. So all of the spray are mixed.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that in just 2 minutes. I want to hear more about it. Your name, of course, is Pedro Snyder, your consultant in Brazil. We'll talk more about Asian soybean rust and the possibility that it is either adapting or moving to adapt to the sprays regimes that soybean farmers are doing in Brazil.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A former high school teacher and pastor has pleaded guilty to possession of child pornography. Under a deal reached with prosecutors in Decatur, Randy DeJanes will be sentenced to 2 years probation. DeJanes was a teacher at DeLand Weldon High School when he was accused of molesting several male students. Those charges, though, were dropped. Closing arguments are underway in the trial of a man suing the Diocese of Belleville over sexual abuse that he says he suffered at the hands of a priest decades ago. James Wisniewski of Champaign alleges that the Reverend Wayman Kaunacki sexually molested him in the 1970s when Wisniewski was an altar boy. Wisniewski says the diocese covered up the abuse and shuffled Kaunacki from parish to parish. Former Belleville Bishop Wilton Gregory has testified that key documents about Kownacki's possible sex abuse were kept from him. Gregory removed Kownacki from the active ministry 10 years ago. Wisniewski testified that Kownacki sexually abused him 40 or 50 times and threatened to kill his parents if he told anyone. Kownacki is not charged criminally and hasn't commented on the allegations. An agency that provides substance abuse counseling has been reduced to one youth counselor, and that counselor will no longer be traveling to schools. Prairie Center says it's part of a $900,000 budget cut it was forced to make after state funding was reduced this year. The agency has cut 21 positions, including the loss of its detox unit. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich isn't saying if he'll run for a third term, but he calls himself a great governor who loves his job. Blagojevich told reporters at the Democratic convention in Denver that there's more to do, and he has no reason to think he doesn't want to keep doing the job. The governor has lousy poll ratings and terrible relationships with many state officials. Several Democrats are getting ready for possible campaigns. Still, Blagojevich says he has a strong track record. Indiana's governor says there's little the state can do to help the city of Gary with its $13 million budget shortfall this year. He says the city should do everything it can to get its financial house in order before seeking relief from the state. Gary's mayor appealed after cutting work hours for most employees. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're coming to you live today from the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, and the Iowa State Extension tent. Our thanks go out to WOI, Public Radio in Iowa, for helping us broadcast from right here on the Farm Progress Show site. My name's Todd Gleason. Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural communities with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information available from Bob Bastever in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender. We'll continue our conversation now with Pedro Snyder. He is a crop consultant in Brazil and has been in country here in the United States for a couple of weeks now, but has some interesting things and tales to tell from the South American farms. When we left him 2 minutes ago, we had been discussing Asian soybean rust and the idea that something unique had happened at the end of the growing season last year, and that the foliar applications weren't controlling the Asian soybean rust as well as maybe they might have in the past. Do you think that that's an adaptation by Asian soybean rust, or is something else happening?
Well, in my opinion, you can conclude that it would be adaptation of rust. I think once in Brazil, in the south of Brazil, happens with the wheat, rust in wheat. So we put like the tibuconazole, and that year didn't work. But it happened that after that, in the other years, they quite work. So I really can't say that the adaptation of the soybean rust. I think we can conclude that we have to wait until more information about the university they will come.
Well, more university research, since I work for a university, is always a very good thing. Let's talk a little bit about your expectations for the coming year. Producers in this part of the world always speculating about how many acres, or in this case hectares, of soybeans will be planted in South America, in Brazil in particular. Will those numbers go up this year?
Well, they're saying that it will be 4% more, right? The agents are saying 4%. But in my opinion, I think, especially in my area, in Mato Grosso, that's the largest soybean area, I think the area will be the same. We have a lot of environment issues, and their control a lot what are you doing there, cleaning areas, and the high price of inputs, especially fertilizers, make that the farmers, they cannot cultivate more areas. It will be tough for them now.
Well, less than a minute left. Those 4% more acres, will be they freshly cleared land, and do they yield very well? Will they be cleared for the first time this year? And on that first year, can they really make those beans yield?
No, that's the point. Why you be, you know, you're going to make it really risky to plant that first year soybean. They that don't make me yield. So how can you pay your inputs costs?
All right. Thank you very much, Pedro
Snyder.
You're
welcome. Nice to meet you, Todd. And I hope I will come to next year to visit you in Decatur in Illinois.
All right. At the Farm Progress Show. We'll
That's
see you then.
That's right.
See you Pedro
there.
Snyder is a crop consultant from Brazil. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon from the Farm Progress Show site in Boone, Iowa. Thanks for being along with us for the ride this afternoon. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.